Thanks for joining us for today's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Linda Noah continued our series, Extra Grace Required, with a special Mother's Day message titled, It Begins With Me. Now here's Pastor Linda.
We just barely started focusing on the people in our life who really need a little bit of extra grace. They're the difficult people in our lives. And we have an extra grace required person, and then to some people, we are their extra grace required person. Well, why is that? Well, the Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us are flawed human beings. None of us are imperfect. And we all carry hurts, habits, and hang-ups that as we rub against one another, sometimes there can be friction in these relationships. You see, when we make a decision to surrender our lives to Christ, what happens in that moment is we don't become perfect. What happens in that moment is we trade a relationship in which for all of our sins and all of our flaws that Jesus comes in and he died on the cross and was rose again. His blood was shed for us, that he stands before a holy God and pleads on our behalf. And when a holy God looks upon us, he sees us through the blood of Jesus, and then we become perfect. But even though we have that salvation, Philippians 2 says that, we have to keep on working to complete our salvation with fear and trembling, because God is working in you to help you to want to do and be able to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Then you will be innocent and without any wrong. You will be God's children without fault. But you are living with a crooked and mean people all around you, among whom you shine like stars in the dark world. Mean people, difficult people, they are unavoidable. That verse even says it. But here's the beauty. As we go about living in the world, and the, you know, we can't help but having our hearts stomped upon every so often. In fact, it's really unavoidable. But as we live in this world, it says there that even though mean people in our lives, that we have an opportunity to shine like the stars, to let our godliness show forth. Luke 17:1 says, Jesus said that it is impossible that no offenses should come. It's impossible. It's a part of living in this world. There are mean people. And not only are our wounds unavoidable by the mean people that we engage, God has got just constantly, maybe even our own fault, but God is constantly in the refining business. And if it's not, he can't keep us from hurts and disappointments. And if it's not these people, God has a way of engaging those circumstances and people in our lives to refine us and make us better. God doesn't keep us from hurts and disappointments. He didn't keep Daniel from the lion's den. He met him in it. He didn't keep Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. He joined them in it. He didn't keep Joseph from being a slave to Potiphar or from sending him to prison. He met him in the prison. He was with them. God doesn't keep you from your hurts and your disappointments. He joins you in it, and he has purpose in it and refining you so that you may shine like the stars. I don't know if I like that, but it's what's real. It's how the world works. And as we lean into this scripture and our whys, our purpose, and the purposes and the challenges we face, as we face those, we grow in our wisdom. So when you're living with a crooked and mean people, then you do can shine. And as we gain in wisdom, as we lean and work with these crooked and mean people, we will shine, the word says, as bright as day. As bright as day. People issues in your life, they give you wisdom. They make you smart. I've been in the ministry for a lot of years, and there's some things I know. One, offenses and wounds are unavoidable. They will come. My husband shared last week that hurt people hurt people. And we are a room full of ordinary, broken people. And sometimes we can hurt one another. And then the other thing is, most of us do our best to hide our hurts from public view. I know I look pretty good today, and you don't know about the wounds in my heart. And neither do I necessarily know about all the wounds in your heart. You know that people who have all the money and all the resources, and it looks like they have every joy in the world, can dress up, look good, but have a very broken heart. And then the final truth is this: when it comes to the people and our relationships, we only have one enemy, and that enemy isn't each other. The Bible tells us that we don't war with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities. Now, the reality is, sometimes the evil one looks a whole lot like you and me, looks a whole lot like us. And we have a choice to make. We only have so much energy, and it takes the same energy to live big or to always live hurt and to live broken. We get to make a choice on how we want to use our energy. And for the remainder of our time together, I want us to look at those things in our own lives. We're not going to point our fingers at the critic, or we're not going to point our fingers at the wet blanket or some of the other things that we are going to be talking about over the next few weeks. But we're going to start with, and we're going to look at our own lives. When I was 7 years old, the Lord called me into ministry. I knew that's what He had for my life. This calling has been a guidepost for my life. It's given meaning for my life. I'm redhead, spicy, and strong-willed. But in the midst of that, God held me, He guided me, and He directed me all the days of my life. And I can't boast about being a sinless person and the journey that God has had me on, but this calling has helped me to make course corrections when I needed them, and has been a real source of comfort to me as I have done life with Him. A few years ago, I was working with a Christian leader and a trainer that by the name of Ford Taylor. Some of you have taken his classes, and he came in and taught us about transformational leadership. And he's written a course called Transformational Leadership that we use here in this church. We've taken it into Ethiopia, and I've been a part of trainings and events really in different parts of the country as God has really used this as a powerful, powerful tool. As I've been close to him and watched him engage people and pray with people and work with people, there was no question in my mind that he wasn't anointed. He was anointed. And I'd watched transformation. I'd watched people, and the transformation in their life is incredible. And so one day, after a particularly profound day, I said to him, "I want you to teach me. I want to pray like you pray. I want to work with people the way that you work with people. I want to see the anointing. I want to see transformation. I want to see healings of the heart like I've witnessed in your ministry." And so we went through the day, and the day had ended, and there was a group of us sitting, and I voiced that to him very strongly, and he said, "You can have it, Linda. Get rid of your junk." And I thought, what junk? I mean, I honestly, not trying to be arrogant, but I couldn't think through something in my life that I would count as some grievous sin against God. I thought I was living a pretty humble and compliant life before God. And I said, "I don't know." And he says, "Well, tell me something that you've not told anyone else." And he says, "What you uncover, God covers. And what you cover, God uncovers." And I thought for a moment, and the Holy Spirit was working. And I said to him, "Okay, there is this woman. I've been involved in a recent betrayal, a big hurt. She's someone that I should have trusted, I could have trusted. She used things for her advantage and caused some challenges," and I named some of the few challenges, and I said to him, "We've done the hard work about working on a relationship because it was a big deal." So I went and I met with her and I talked to her, and she and I tried to kiss and make up and work it through. But I would have to tell you, whenever I'm near her, and she's not in this church, whenever I'm near her, it's not okay. I'm smiling on the outside, but on the inside, oh. And here's my truth. I don't like her. And he knew of this woman, and I don't like her. I don't trust her. I'm really trying hard, but I can't get past it. And I gave a list of things, of labels, of what I believe that she was like. There you go. You want to make change and transformation in your own life. You want to work with the EGRs in your own life. Here's your first step. Examine your own heart. Psalms 139 says, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." When I spoke to Ford, I said, "Ford, I want the anointing to be on my life." That's like saying, "God, I want the anointing." I spoke it into the air. I want the anointing to be on my life. So God says, "Okay, now's the time. Here's this is going to come out." What you uncover, God covers. Except I'm uncovering a whole lot today. And what you cover, God uncovers. Is there something that seems to consistently agitate you as you relate with people? It is like a common theme in your life that just seems to constantly come up. Do you have a consistent relational theme? Ask God to bring it to mind. Here's step two. Admit your hurts. Avoid them, repress them, deny them. It doesn't work. The Bible says in Psalms 32 that when I kept things to myself, I just felt weak and deep inside, and I moaned all day long. Psalms 39 says, I kept very quiet, but I became even more upset. I became very angry inside, and as I thought about it, my hurt burned. The truth is, the more I held this, is the more it agitated me in my life. Does a wound hurt you? Does it have a hold on you? Did you know that revealing your heart is the beginning of healing? How do you do this? Let me step back here just a moment. When we think of God of the Old Testament, we see him and know him as a God that was off here somewhere. And then we have Jesus of the New Testament. He came into this world. And what's his name? Emmanuel with us. Where does he live? In our hearts. Should it not surprise you that the evil one is an all-out attack to rule and reign in your heart? Shouldn't surprise you how hard it is for us to get along? It shouldn't surprise you about the offenses that come. Matthew 24 says, in the last days, there would be lawlessness that come, and there would be a lack of love. And offenses, it says, will abound. Doesn't it surprise you? It shouldn't surprise you how there is such a friction upon our lives to own our heart. And then the Bible also says that our heart is the wellspring to our life. So if we're at odds or we're broken or we're hurting or we're wounded, that creates our lives as Satan's playground for us to not only hurt ourselves, but to hurt the other people in our lives. So when we admit our hurts, we release those secrets. It's the same idea like taking the boogeyman out of the closet, and the boogeyman's no longer there. But when you have to admit your hurts, you need to admit your hurts in three different ways. One, you have to be honest with God. And you go, God, I heard about this. This stinks. God knows it anyway, but there's something really powerful that happens when you go say, this hurts. And it goes, oh, my child, I know. And God's word says that he'll comfort us. The second way is you have to be honest with yourself and not mask this and say, I got this. When this woman hurt me, it was unfair. She was wrong. She hurt me. And immediately I go, the godly Christian thing to do, go kiss, make up, make it right, and then I'm walking around bloody on the inside to say, hey, yeah, this really hurt. And then you have to be honest with one other person you trust. This is so important. It doesn't mean you have to be honest with everyone. It doesn't mean that you have to stand here like me, and I'm going to share you another part of my story in a little bit, and confess your sins to the world. It doesn't mean that you have to, you know, put it on Facebook, you know, or something like that. But you do need to find one other person that you can trust. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Another version, amplified version, says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. Isn't that what we all want? Is to have a godly spiritual tone of mind and our heart? You see, if you want to be forgiven, tell it to God, because he's the forgiver. If you want to be healed, confess it to others. It's right there in Scripture, right there. And this step is powerful. It's an incredibly holy moment. Just even what I'm going to share to you today, there is getting stuff released in the spiritual realm that actually terrifies me in a super good way, because I know that it's going to create an opening in my own life. And really, I'm letting boogeyman's out of my closet as I share this with you today. When you reveal your feelings, it is the beginning of your healing. And that's how powerful it is. Step three, you have to release those who have hurt you. There's only one way that you can take away your pain. One way, and that is forgiveness. Offering forgiveness and asking for forgiveness. Romans 12 says this, never pay back evil for evil. Never avenge yourself. Oh, that's what I felt like. That's what she deserved. Leave that to God. One translation says God's wrath. One translation gives the idea that if you take that on yourself, you literally remove the ability for God to take care of it because you've avenged it. And so when you step back and you need to use some wisdom with, and you like, God, you got this. You need to take care of this. You release him and you allow him to do that. For he has said he will repay those who deserve it. No one gets away with anything. Let me tell you, God is a just God and he repays those who deserve it. You don't have to. If we take a look at this and being such a really big deal, let's take a look at the Lord's Prayer. We know this, we quote it, we sing it in songs. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Dependent event. If you forgive those who sin against you, this scripture says, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Forgive me, the passage says, as I forgive those who trespass against me. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father cannot, will not forgive your own sins. Forgiveness is hard. In my story, I thought I had done everything right. I thought I'd gone through all the steps. We'd met together. We'd talked it out. She knew where the offense had come. We had apologized to each other. For my part, I apologized. For her part, she apologized. We kissed and we made up. But it wasn't better. My spiritual mentor said to me then, so I want you to name a time in history when your emotion was as strong as you're feeling this emotion in this situation. Immediately, the Holy Spirit was working. My husband and I were in our early 30s, and we were executive pastors at a church in Denver, Colorado. And I was overseeing a large ministry that dealt a lot with the young families, and there was a group of three women that did not like me. They made my life difficult. They made my life extremely, extremely difficult. And if I ever wondered if someone was demon-possessed, the leader of this pack was. I swear on a Sunday morning, as usually would happen in front of everybody, her head would spin and, you know, her eyes would go red. And it was like nothing I'd ever seen before. And time doesn't allow me to go into the story, but just to say that it was very abusive and it was very dark and it wasn't short. It lasted for a period of time. And I was young. We were in a large church, which was a complex ministry, and it was a lot for me to handle in my young years. There was a point that it became so bad that they called the lead pastor, these women and their husbands, the chairman of the board, and my husband and I into a meeting at our lead pastor's house, and he instructed me, let them just say whatever they're going to say. Just listen. And I did. And I asked Ray about his memories of this meeting, because I said, Ray, what came out of that? You know, what did we learn from that? And he goes, what did I do wrong? And he goes, well, I don't know that you did anything wrong. I don't know that they even knew what you had done wrong. I mean, it was stuff like I wore a dress when I was supposed to wear jeans. You know, good, meaningful stuff. But I sat there in that meeting shocked and stunned and horrified, embarrassed that here I am and these men are sitting here with these women and we are getting humiliated in front of these women and the men had to sit there going, okay, women. The meeting didn't resolve the conflict. Like I said, I'm not sure what they really wanted. It just band-aided a festering wound. And we went on. Something happened to me in that moment that I had this belief, this is what women do. They hurt, they're catty, they manipulate, they gossip, and da 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 da. My spiritual mentor said to me, you cannot move forward in your life until you forgive these women. That was decades ago. And it was such a painful season of my life. This is how big it was. Such a painful season of my life. I can see them. If I saw them on the streets, I wouldn't recognize them. I don't remember their names. They went on later to cause a lot of turmoil and trouble in our church. So once I got out of the way, they went on to the lead pastor, honestly. And it was such a big season in my life. I was looking at the timeline of my life, and it was within a matter of months afterwards that I resigned my position at the church, left the ministry in a full-time capacity, and went to work in the secular world. Didn't put all that together. Now, that was good, that God had purpose in that, but it was a very big deal. So let me tell you how the brain works. We have a part of our brain that has a hippocampus. It looks like a seahorse in our brain, and anything that happens in our life that comes with passion, emotion, plus purpose, it goes into our brain and lodges in this area called our hippocampus, which is our long-term memory. And then if things in our life happen to support that painful emotional moment to be true, it begins to get in a place that becomes how we engage all of our activities and deal with it. So then things would happen in my life that women would continue to be certain ways, and it would just stack for me. It just stacked, and it would stack, and a stack. What happens to us is an event happens in our life, a thought occurs because of that event, and then a feeling is generated, and out of that feeling, an action comes. When my pastor friend, it was a pastor, female pastor who hurt me in a similar way, someone I shoulda, coulda, trusted, someone who shoulda, coulda, should not be doing that, what they did, it just fed the lies that had been running in my brain and impacting my behavior for a long time. And then what happens as you go through this thinking model, the event happens, the thought, the feeling, the action, then what happens, you get into a fight or flight mode, and so I chose flight, and so I ran. And as soon as I confessed this, and I got this story out of my mind, and my teacher said to me, well, you've got to forgive these women, what began to happen to me was all the times and instances where I'd avoided leadership positions or relationship with women. Why? Because women hurt you. Women are dangerous, and women are hurtful. And the Holy Spirit just started bringing these things to my mind, and I noticed where I'd avoided women's ministry, I'd avoided relationships with women. I'd gone to work. I had a great job, but my executive team was all men. I loved men and how they thought. Everything was in a box. And then dealing with women, everything was, wah! So step four, replace your lies with your truth. First, examine your heart, admit your hurts, release those who have hurt you, and replace lies with truth. Every time I would engage a woman from that moment, I'd have to recalibrate. This scripture is so incredible that you say, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I had to change the way I think, or I thought. And so I knew I was healed. I knew in the moment at that prayer that something had shifted in my life. I could see it. I could feel it. There was so much joy. I was liberated. I hugged all the women who were part of my prayer. I just knew that God had done something with me. But it meant then that I had a practice to do, and I needed to change the way I thought. And so an event would happen, a thought would occur, I'd have an experience with a woman that wasn't positive, I'd have this same, and then my feelings were generated, but I'd catch myself and I would turn, and how God helped me when I looked at that woman was to really look at her with empathy. Oh, she's hurting. Oh, she's afraid. Oh, she's fearful. Or she's this or that. And that made my heart soar and gave me compassion towards her. And then because that feeling changed, then my behavior towards her changed. It was so powerful. But it was something that I had to practice and I had to do because God had given my healing. But I had to work out my salvation in that. I had a part that I needed to play. You see, you have a thought, you have a feeling, you have an action. And if the way you think determines how that you feel, and then that determines the way that you act. And we have power and authority over that. God does his healing, but then we have things that we could do. Then there's step five, receive support. In my case, I selected to put a group of women around me and pull them in close to me, and I needed to admit my issue with them, and I asked them to help me and to hold me accountable. Ecclesiastics says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. There are even three or even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I didn't know how to have relationship with women, and so I'd have to say, this is my issue, and I don't know how to do it, so help me do that. And one of my friends admitted to me how I had been hurting them, and I thought, well, help me get this. And now this sounds petty, and I'm using really petty example because I don't want to use a real example, so roll with me on this. But example is a friend would text me, and I wouldn't respond back. Well, we'd have an activity that day that we were going to go do together, so they'd text me and say, today's going to be a sunny day. And in my process-driven mind, I would say, bring your sunglasses. That makes sense, doesn't it? But what they wanted was a respond by that text. And so they would say, today's a sunny day. And what they needed from me is, I can't wait. It's going to be amazing. Flower, kissy face, heart. And I didn't know how to do that. And so I love this friend dearly. It's somebody so treasured to my heart. And so I said, will you help me? And so they said yes. And so they'd send me a text and they'd include a basketball on it, which means I needed a bounce back. Oh, I didn't know that. So I got better about it. And now my kids go, Mom, lower it a bit on the icons because I've got that all worked out in my life. But it was something that these friends, I was willing to say, they didn't need a thing from me. They didn't need me to be perfect. They didn't need me to do anything for them. They just let me be who I was. And they'd pray for me and they'd help me. And sometimes I say, I don't know how to do that. And they would go, okay, this is how you do that. I'm like, oh, so grateful, so thankful. And I learned. Encourage each other and strengthen one another. Step 6, refocus on the future. That verse, Romans 12, is so incredibly powerful. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. We get that. We remember that. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way we think. We got that. Here's the third step that's so powerful. Then you will learn how to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You want to know God's word and God's will? Transform the way that you think. Saturate your mind in his word and his ways. Be around people who give you understanding of his words and his ways. And he'll show you his perfect will for you. What I'm talking to you about today is so incredibly powerful. And I would say that 90 plus 99% maybe, even us in here, are broken. And we have relationships in our lives that are fractured because of some of the things that we've said and some of the things that we do, and just life. Offenses will come. They're unavoidable. We have a process to make them right. Job says this, put your heart right, reach out to God, then face the world again, firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from memory. Like floods from your past are remembered no more. Proverbs 4, look straight ahead with honest confidence. Don't hang your head in shame. Something happened to me that day, something unleashed in my life, something was so precious, so amazing, so powerful. I did not understand how the hold had on my life. I did not understand that that hurt was so huge and the choices that I made for my life because of it. I did not know that I was avoiding relationship with women, and you can see even this church. We'd come into this church or even other churches that we were pastor, and they go, Linda, do you want to lead the women's ministry? And I said, Women hurt. They're difficult, and I'll lead the men's ministry. But God has unleashed something so powerful in my life, and I want to show you this and how this works and how he opens the floodgates out when you get rid of the boogeyman. When you get rid of the boogeyman. I've been part of a project. We call it the TESFA project. I do it as a hobby, and I've got tons of amazing people around me that help to make this happen. We're doing it in Ethiopia, South Sudan, and Uganda, and we're working with at-risk women and particularly widowed mothers. One day I had to call Ford up when I was in the middle of this. I said, Ford, you're going to just start laughing. Guess what I'm doing? And he just laughed. The way I see God the Father in my life, he takes great delight in with me, and sometimes I stand up to God the Father and go, I ain't going to do that, Jesus. And he says, oh, yes, you are. Ha, ha, ha. Wait and see. And so I think when I picture God, when I tell you what God is doing in my life, I just think he's laughing. I just think he's celebrating. I just think, Linda, you are my child, and you are just the cutest thing. I finally got you here. I'm launching a training center and a medical clinic. We believe that'll be ready this fall. The building itself is 100% paid for. I didn't ask for the funds. God opened up the windows of heaven. We're helping women and through this center with relief and training and family grants to launch sustainable businesses, businesses selling spices, coffee, tea, or businesses selling boutiques and clothing, or businesses as shepherding and raising farming, shepherding, raising animals, doing farming. We give them tools for clean water. Most of their diseases are waterborne. We give them tools for clean water. We give them blankets. They don't have any. We set them up in emergency care because most of them can't work or can't do anything initially because they're poor and they're sick and they're incredibly needy. There's been volunteers in this church that helped me to launch a rocket stove program that helps them with fuel consumption. And if that wasn't girly enough for you, the Lord showed me of a tremendous need for, sorry, we're in church, but feminine hygiene. They don't have grocery stores. They don't have ways to get it. They use rocks, leaves, fabrics of clothing, corn stalks, or sit on cardboard. And so volunteers in this church have stepped up to help us put together kits, personal kits that we'll take. I asked them what I could give as a goal, and they said, 100. I said, can I give 1,000 as a goal? Because I really need 40,000. The need is so huge. All because the time was right. I let God deal with a wound of my heart. I didn't know it was there. He revealed it to me at the right time. I had no idea. No idea. But once he showed me, I had to take care of it. I had to take care of it. There's a phenomenon that's happening in the desert lands of L.A. And that is, you can read it on the in the newspaper, Google it. That's what I did. Googled it. And it's in the desert lands, and what's going on is because of the temperature shift and the moisture that's falling, rain is just saturating the desert lands. And what they're finding and discovering is that the desert that once was barren and unfruitful is now blossoming. I have a picture here that'll just show you. You'll just see the fields of flowers that's happening inside of the desert. And then this next picture is even more stunning. You can see the barrenness of the hills in the back, but just this incredible flowering. And people are flocking to this area by the hundreds and by the thousands. The seeds were there all along. All along, the seeds were there. But God, in his divine plan, in the moment that he felt was right, he began to water the barren places, and they began to flower, and they began to bloom, really all on their own, all on their own. Today, what I love so about how God works in our lives, he's kind of like a GPS system. I don't know about you, but when we get in the car, we plug in where we're going, and then this woman talks, and Ray does not listen. And when he kind of takes his own road or his own journey, it immediately starts going, recalibrate, 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 and then starts getting us into the right place or getting us to the right. And that's how God works in our lives. It's very hard to move, if you're a follower of Christ, to move out of his will for you. Very hard. He has a way of getting you back to the right place and getting you back to where you need to be. Recalibrate, 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 recalibrate. Today, the rain's here. The rain's coming. The Holy Spirit is sprinkling across this congregation. He's watering the dry ground, the desert places of your life. What's he telling to you? How is he speaking to you? As I shared this morning, what came to mind? What are your hurts and what are your wounds? Allow him to rain upon that. The seeds of your life, are they lying dormant? He wants to bless you. He wants to release you. He wants to put you in the place. He wants to, if you're off, he wants to calibrate you. Examine your heart. Admit the hurt. Release those who have hurt you. Replace the lie that you have with a truth. Receive support around you. Find friends that you can trust. And then just refocus on this future that he has for you. It's raining today, people. It's raining. Have you been hurt? Allow the Holy Spirit to rain on your heart. Have you been broken? Allow the Holy Spirit to rain on your soul. Do you feel left behind? Allow the Holy Spirit to rain over your dreams. Are you fearful? Allow the Holy Spirit to reign and lift you up. What you thought was dormant, God will allow to shine. He's just that kind of God.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.